last month. And my wife's brother's pastor was there, and he saw me and he asked me, did I want to preach for him the next day? And I didn't have no preaching clothes to wear to church. My brother-in-law had a suit. He said, you can wear one of my suits. And I wore one of his suits, and he didn't have a suit. But everything went well. And so he was good to me. Now you're talking about if I could sing like he could, like he can, that's all I would do is sing. Now you're talking about somebody can pipe, he can pipe. Now, Pastor, the reason why that I don't want to walk around with this piece on the mic on these boys, these youngsters have been, I believe they have been laying odds, bets. Now I'm not gonna say bets. How big his feet is. Some want to put a number pretty high, over or under. And it's a big number. So I keep my feet back here where it won't be attracting everybody. I'm getting everybody's attention. No, but it's not that my feet are not that big. I'm just tell you now that they're not that big. Well, what do you call not that big? Well, I call a person with a normal foot is about 14 or 15. Now, my foot ain't quite as big as your shoes. My wife bought everything I have on, she bought it. Everything I have to put on, she bought it. And she goes and buy my shoes and everything else, and sometimes she buys them a little bit too big. That's why they look so big. Amen, amen. Maybe if I could tell a joke, I don't have one. I could quieten these nerves are down some. But there is a word from the Lord. Amen. And if this word would come from the fourth chapter of John. I know that two preachers here lately have preached from the same chapter, identical, same chapter. Your pastor was one of them, and the other pastor was an evangelist. I believe he was a missionary. I can't remember who he was, but he preached as well. Now, and a bishop, friend of mine, deacon of the church, he was the Sunday school teacher, and I was the superintendent of the Sunday school. And he would come out and teach the Sunday school lesson. And I would go in the basement where I wouldn't hear what he had to say. And I'd come up for the last closing remarks. I would give my remarks on the Sunday school lesson. And he and I never had the same message. Totally different. My wife said, your message is totally different from his. So I was with him one day, and we was talking about it. And he said, and I asked him, I said, why, how you do your lesson? He said, when I go to work on Monday morning at 12 o'clock, I take my Sunday school lesson and everything and spread it out on my desk, and I studied. For 5 days, I studied at work. And he said, and how do you do it? Well, I work on mine and pray and stuff. I said, well, I'm not teaching the Sunday school class. You are. So what we come to the conclusion, you preach what God give you to preach, I preach what God give me to preach. You teach what God give you to teach, and I'll teach what He give. And we did that for 14 years. Not one word, not one word out of the whole church, not one objection. We did it for 14 years. Now, I tried that here and it didn't work, so I'm going to leave that alone. In this 14th chapter, fourth chapter of John, you will find before you read it, Jesus said, John wrote in his fourth chapter, Jesus and he must needs go through Samaria. Then you will find him telling this lady, let me read it for you, because you see, if they're making up stuff, I'm telling you the truth. I'm reading it just like it says, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, let me see, he shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's a promise. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we're so grateful for the opportunity to stand before this congregation and pray unto you, Lord. This is your message, and we ask you, Lord, to deliver it. Use yours truly as you use John the Baptist. Just a voice telling what thus says the Lord. And this we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. To our beloved pastor and first lady, well, pastor told me to call her, told us to call her Miss Melissa, but my wife told me to call her First Lady, so I'm going to call her what? Who say? And, she is First Lady, and she is Miss Melissa. Amen. Amen. I was in Dallas, Texas. E.K. Bailey had a expository preaching conference there. And my wife and I went to that conference, and it was a week long. And during that conference, they had one of the lectures there was Warren Wisby. And he gave us a lecture on how to get the subject of your sermon, and how to raise the people's curiosity, I say, about what you getting ready to say. So he gave us an example. He said, you know that sermon that Christ meeting that woman at the well? A good title of that sermon will be "But That Seventh Man." So I guess back to where I was from, I tried to preach that sermon four times. And every time I tried to preach, it never came out right. I went back to the Lord and asked the Lord, why is it I can meditate on that sermon? Why I can't preach it to my satisfaction? Well, I've come to find out I never preached one to my satisfaction. But he told me, he said, I didn't give you that sermon. Go to Warren Wisby and tell him to give you the sermon. He gave you the title. You go to him, get the sermon. I said, okay. And later on, so today I come back with the same passage of scripture. But I titled this one, and Pastor done beat me to it this morning. He said, don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. And regardless to why, and what you are called, God called you to do, or what you intend to do in God's name, just because he doesn't show up when you want him to show up, don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. When I got here, me and my wife got here, that's the first thing he said, don't give up on God. So what do I do? Continue to study, just like I'm getting ready to preach. Continue to study, just like I am teaching Sunday school. Continue to pray, just like I did when I was preaching every Sunday. Just like God is intending to give me another church. Amen. Now, on that word I just said, don't give up on God. I know I told the pastor about it. I don't know if I said anything else to anybody else about this or not. It was a church opened up where his pastor died of that church, and he was 53 years old. His birthday was the same as mine. His occupation was the same as mine. And someone came to me and asked me, would you like to pastor that church? Somebody called me and told me that church is open. I said, well, yeah. So the deacon said, he told the deacon about it. Deacon called me and told me, I'm going to send you an application. He sent me an application. Wasn't that too much of an application, just some paper to get my name and address and telephone number on it. And I sent it back to him, and I went over. They called me in for an interview. I went in for the interview, and it was the panel, the search committee. It had about 10 people on the panel, and each one asked me two questions or three questions. And I answered them, and they certain subjects they wanted to know about. And I went on back home, continued doing what I was doing. So they called me up and said, Reverend, or preacher, we got word that you and your last pastor had a disagreement. I said, yeah, we had disagreements. And he said, the pastor told us that he had pulled his right hand of fellowship from you. And he says that, now we enjoy fellowshipping with that church. What you gonna do about that? I said, well, I tell you what to do. Regardless to whether I get the job or not, or get pastor of the church or not, he and I, we must settle this right now. He got an order against me. So I called him up and I said, well, pastor, I heard you pull your right hand of fellowship from me. And he said, yes. I said, well, listen, we got to settle this. We got to come to a conclusion or something. We got to come back in fellowship or reconcile one another some kind of way. Because I cannot stand take a chance on getting before that pearly gate, and he say, you got an art against your brother. Your brother got an art, and you didn't sell it. I don't want no tech, no tech. I said, let's sell this. He said, okay, that was Friday. He said, called me back that Saturday and told me, so we'll meet Monday at 4:30. I said, that's fine. Monday I'll be ready. Called me back that Sunday and told me, his deacon called me back and said, the pastor said he won't meet with you Monday at 4:30, and he will never meet with you. Oh, mm-hmm. Now, that ends that, because they said that you and I here. So I went on. My sister-in-law told me that would've been about 4 months ago in the Sweden. 5 months. My sister-in-law told me that church is still looking for a pastor. That church is still looking for a pastor. don't know when to go find one. But they had the wrong idea in the first place. And I wrote and told them, if I get to be your pastor, you don't choose who you fellowship with. I do that. So you're letting something block your way. You block you from receiving a pastor when it really is not your business. I told him that, you know, during the deacons. If I was your pastor, whether I fellowship with him or not, you don't have anything to do with it. I choose who I'm going to fellowship with. I will. So anyway, now I still haven't given up on God. I still have not given up on God. Amen. Now let's read the first verse that I would like to read is that fourth verse where it says that he must needs go through Samaria. Amen. And the next verse we read, he says that if thou had known, if thou knew the gift of God and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. Amen. 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 Now this whole thing right here starts in John the third chapter, where Nicodemus came to Christ and told him, said, we know that thou art a man of God, because no man doeth these miracles except God be with him. Christ turned and said to him, he said, Nicodemus, except thou be born again, thou cannot see the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. The next time he said something to Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, except thou be born again, thou cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That is a process of growth right there. One, being able to see the kingdom of heaven, and the other one, to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now you move to the fourth chapter. He asked this lady, he said, if thou knew the gift of God. He didn't ask her if y'all know God. She already knew there was a God. She already knew that God was in charge. She knew that. She knew that there was a God. When I was 10 years old, maybe 11, somewhere in there, I know I wasn't 12. We raised up on a farm and we had to plow the crop and stuff, and I had a pair of mules, two mules. And my nephew, which was about 3 years younger than me, he was following behind me, just there and walking right along with me as I plow. At the end of the day, we took the mules and took the loose from the plow and headed home. And we had to go through a pastor, and we stopped, didn't tie the mules up or nothing, like two boys would do, and started shooting marbles. We stayed there until it was dark shooting marbles. When we looked up, there had no mules nowhere. Now you can imagine, I left home that morning with a pair of mules going to the field. I'm on my way back home and don't have the mules and don't know where the mules are. Oh, what are we going to do now? So I said, let's pray. Now, I had shouted off the morning's bench. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a God. So he and I leaned up against a tree And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed until somebody came along and picked us up and took us where the old mules were. That was in the middle 50s. My dad died in 1991. He didn't know the day he died that we were missing no mules. He didn't know how close we came to missing no mules. See, I knew then that God would answer prayer. I knew then that God would answer prayer. And that stayed with me for life. But I didn't know the way of life. I didn't know the way of life. This woman here, let me tell you, show it to you in the scripture right here. This lady was Christ. The Bible said, Christ being weary in his journey, he stopped by a well of water, and sat by the well. And the lady, here comes a woman to draw water. It was about the 6th hour of the day, which would be 12 o'clock in the daytime, which would have been extremely hot. It was a custom for the women then to go to the well either early in the morning while it was still cool or late in the afternoon when it was cooling off. But here come a woman in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, to draw water. You know what? Christ went there and said, he knew who was coming. He knew who was coming. The story goes, if a preacher prepares a message for a broken heart, if he prepares a message for those that have been disappointed, if he prepares a message for those that are in depression, he will always have an audience. He's always have an audience. If he prepare, you don't have to look. You go, Christ had to do is go where the depressed go. Go where the disappointed people go. They have a certain place to go. Right now, probably would be going to the drug house. Probably would be going to some watering hole. He would meet someone there. Now listen at this. Listen at this. Now, he said to the lady, I'm going to get to that next. Let me tell you this first. He said, John wrote and said, now let's start from the beginning then. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, and though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And the Bible said he must need to go through Samaria. Now, and he goes through Samaria and sit by the well. And here come a woman come to the well at 12 o'clock in the daytime. She's avoiding the company that she keeps. She came alone. If it had been in my day, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, the older people would have said, they'd have called her old Jezebel. They would have called her old Jezebel. Some of the women would have said, now she just done run out. But Christ didn't say that about it all. But she was voiding the confrontation of her friends, enemies, talking about her. So she came to the well, and she gets there, and he's sitting up on the well. I could see him right now, just see him. He's sitting up, propped up on the well. He says to her, give me a drink. And I, she said, well, wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. How is it, you being a Jew, you're going to ask a Samaritan, you're going to ask a Samaritan to give you a drink? Usually, the Jews don't have no dealing with the Samaritan. Now, it's two ways you can look at it. I looked at it one way, Brother Don. I looked at that one way, and I looked at her saying, you know how women get sometimes? They get, you know, especially if they're pretty, and three or four men done told them how good they look. They let that go to the head, and they start, you know, and they acting like these Jews. What is it? How in the world you go being a Jew? Go, you just can't avoid temptation, can you? That's what she was saying to herself. I thought that, but I wouldn't talk to the Lord about it. No, nah, you don't go that right with her. See, there wasn't nothing wrong. She may have been somebody that have been mistreated all her life. You don't know that. You just go by what he says right here. And so he says, give me a drink. And she says, he says that, she asked him that question, said, how is it? And he says, if thou knewest the gift of God, that's the first thing. She didn't know the gift of God. Now listen at this. He said, thou would have told me, thou would have asked me to give you a drink. She said, now let me read it for you so I can get it right. And he said, if thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that says to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now, listen at this. He came to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, same question. He came to John the Baptist to be baptized. There is no heavenly reason why that Jesus was baptized. There's no, it did nothing for him. There was that what reason, why would you, he had no reason to be baptized. But yet, he come to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist, you coming to me? That's the same thing he said to this woman. John knew who he was. John knew exactly who he was, and he said, John said, thou comest to me, I should be coming to you. Thou coming to me to be baptized, I should be baptized of you. He said, and here he said to this woman right here, if thou knew the gift of God, she knew God. Nicodemus knew God. He had heard about God, but he didn't go no further. That's the place that when I said don't give up on God, you got people that come through these doors right here and stay for a while and go no further. Won't come to Sunday school, won't read the Bible, won't pray, don't do anything, and stay for a while and expect everything to change. Then they tell you, say, I tried God. I tried the church. And this is what Jesus was telling her, that you tried God. Well, she was living a respectful life according to the word. I'm going to say it this way. She may have been keeping some of the laws. The laws such as I don't smoke. I don't steal. I haven't killed anybody. She may have been doing that. But she knew there was a God, but she didn't know the gift of God. It cost her more for what she didn't know she lost more by what she didn't know as she did what she knew. She knew there was a God. And not only that, she knew that she had to worship God. She went to worship God. But she didn't know the gift of God. That's what makes the difference in our lives. Is it's not that our goodness makes the difference. It's the goodness of God that makes the difference. And I tell you what, here's what Jesus do. He did the same thing that Jesus did when he walked on the face of this earth. He'll do it today. He does it today. He manifests himself unto her. He presented himself unto her. He said, if thou knew the gift of God. Some of you, it doesn't stop. Just it does not stop of you knowing just knowing God. Let him take you a little bit farther. He'll take you far as you need to go. He'll take that. Your next move is to meet Jesus. She knew God, but she didn't know the gift of God. And that gift of God, what she didn't know about that gift of God will lead you into another life. And not only does it lead you into another life, it also supports the life that you are in. This is what he said. He said, then the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And from whence then hast thou this living water? Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. And she caught a little bit of it. But she said, and the woman said unto him, thou, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then cometh this living water? And art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall not thirst again. Whosoever drink of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You look, what is that well of water? I believe, Pastor, that well of water is Jesus himself. I believe that Brother Brian talked about this morning, that joy that comes from that, that's that joy coming from that well of water. And I tell you, church, if somebody was there saying, pray for somebody, say, here's what God tell you, with that well of water in you, with that well of water in us, listen, he says that even though this outward frame of mine, this old earthly frame of mine is going to begin to break down. But as it breaks down, that little man on the inside is being renewed day after day. I tell you, the Satan can take a sickness, can take away that happiness, but it can't take that joy away. Because even though this old earthly frame of mine began to break down, give away, that little man on the inside being renewed day after day after day. The farther, the worse that my sickness caused me to be, the more
joy I get out of God, the more that well springs up and just keeps springing up into everlasting life. A life that never gives up on God. A life that never quit worshiping God. Amen. I'll tell you what, give you some examples of that. Paul and Silas had gotten thrown in jail for doing what was right. And the Bible said, at midnight, when they should have been worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow, they began to praise God for the condition that they was in. Not because they didn't begin to pray and ask God to get me out of trouble. They praised God for the condition they was in, for the trouble that they was in. That's that well of water. Just keeps springing up. Regardless to how somebody talk about you, that well of water. When that well, they can say what they want to say about you, that well of water began to spring up. All you go do is do exactly what Christ told you to do with that Sermon on the Mount. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. When they persecute you, pray for them. Lord, have mercy on them like you had mercy on me. I preached a sermon when I was maybe the second one that I'd preached. And when I got done preaching, I came out the pulpit. Several people met me coming out of the pulpit and said to me, "You ought to go and get you some Holy Ghost." I said, "Lord, bless them like you did me." Yeah, I didn't make no difference. You know what the Lord told me? Lately somebody said something about me real bad. And I got angry. He said, "Why are you getting angry over what somebody said to you in the flesh? And you being spiritual, why?" I said, "Lord, you're absolutely right. If you are for me, what difference does it make what they say about me? What the difference, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. This is what we get from following Jesus." Yeah, you got that. Many people that came to church, stayed for a little while. Things didn't change in their lives. And they wanted to leave the church and say, "I tried God." No. Stay with him. Don't give up on him. Stay with him. Stay with church. Somewhere. Stay. Keep praying. Somewhere. Keep reading the scripture. Somewhere. He gonna do just like he did. He gonna manifest himself in your presence as he did in this woman's presence. Jesus does the same thing. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He haven't quit. I tell you. When I got here and got lonely, nothing to do, and broke, I told my wife, "I'm gonna go back and go get a job. I'm gonna go back driving a truck." I got on my knees and I asked God, I said, you be with me, Lord." And he said to me, I believe he said, "I got your back." So the first thing he did, I put an application on the internet. When I finished the application, I got 6 calls from 6 different companies wanting to hire me. And every time I fill an application out for that company, I couldn't get the application to go through. The one that I got the application going through, that company hired me. I went into orientation and stayed a week. They gave me a truck to bring home that night. And at this state line, I got out the truck about 1 o'clock that night, 2 o'clock that morning, and didn't have nothing on. And used the bathroom. They had a porta-john right next to the truck. That's where I parked, where I could use it. And locked the keys up in the truck. Lord, how much higher? No, how will we get that truck door open now? And I saw a guy over there doing his paperwork. Now, the truck that I had was a 2013. He was driving something like a 96. And I said, "Man, give me a pair of pants where I can go in and call the company and tell the company that I unlocked my keys up in the car."
He said, "You didn't lock your keys up in the truck?" I said, "Yep." He said, "Take my key and go over there and try it." I said to myself on the way, "I know it ain't gonna work. It's a brand new truck." I walked over there and stuck the key in the door, and it turned all the way. I almost locked it back. Unlocked it the first turn. Now, here's the thing about that. Me and my wife was in Vegas at a truck stop, and somebody else had locked his key up in the truck. I bet you 40 people came by there with the key to a freight liner, the same as he had, and offered it, and would none of them unlock it. Would none of them unlock it. That's when I knew that God had my back. Amen. God had my back. And let me tell you this last little incident. I'm going through Moreno Valley, and that mount on 60, as it leaves 10, is a drive about a couple of miles. It goes over mountains. And in those mountains, I guess I was driving about 60, 45, 50 miles an hour. Wasn't that heavy because I had a load of mattresses on. Might have had 5,000 pounds on the truck. And I don't know whether the front tire blew before I hit the curve or after I hit it. I don't know. I hit that curve and stayed straddled that curve, and I couldn't pull it off the curve because some kind of way I knocked the cruise control on. And I, just as I, that truck keep from going over that bank, about 250 feet drop, I snatched it off that banister, and it went to the, all the way to the other side and come bounce back off that center rail, and I stopped it in the left lane. The state trooper got there, and he was so amazed that the Lord, he said, "The Lord got to be with you, because you're supposed to be down there." But I ain't, though. It ain't. I tell you, when you drink from the well that God give you, God will keep showing you himself as long as you live. When you run into problems, your problem, he is the problem. He is the problem solver. He will answer your prayers every time. Every time. You don't give up on God. Don't never give up on, I don't care how long it take. I preached that sermon, tried to preach that sermon, and Mahalia Jackson said, "Every time I look back over my shoulder, know what I have gone through." I was sitting in a classroom one day. I was about 6 years old. Couldn't get no girlfriend for nothing in my life. Well, everybody had a girlfriend but me. And the teacher asked one of the young girls, "Asked who was the ugliest person in the classroom?" And I sat there and prayed, "Lord, I hope she don't say me. Lord, I hope she don't say me." And if she'd have said me, how was I go? And she wouldn't say, give no answer. About 5 years later, that same preacher told me in front of the class that he couldn't win a beauty contest. There wasn't nobody but him and the judge. I had to walk with that. You know who I walked with that? It was because I look back over my shoulder right now, I can't see nothing but Jesus. Jesus carried me through all of it. Everything that I went through, I can look back and see, like Mahalia Jackson says, how I got over. You know, my soul looked back and wonder how I made it over. She says, as soon as I can see Jesus, the man that died for me, the man that bled and suffered and hung on Calvary, I'm going to thank him for old time religion. I'm going to thank him for giving me a vision. I'm going to thank him for how he bought me. I'm going to thank him for how he taught me. I'm going to thank him. Oh, I'm going to leave that alone. But anyway, how I made it over, not giving up on God.
Every time a trial come along, James said, it seemed like it's worse, seemed like it's grievous unto you, but it's good for you. God is trying to reveal something to you. As Jesus was trying to, as he revealed himself unto this woman at the well. Now, here's the thing. Now, the Bible tells us, you go home and read it for yourselves. The Bible tells us that when she left Jesus, the same people she was running from, she ran back to them. He found a woman that was, what name you want to give her? Outcast. And turned her into a missionary. I tell you what God won't do. It can't be done. God will make you. I tell you what. I had a friend of mine that told me, said, when her husband was smoking crack cocaine, he was lay smoking right there in the bed with her. He thought she didn't know it. He told me later on that she didn't know. He thought she didn't know it. She said, now, that led to separation. She said, what that put me through, I wouldn't wish it upon my worst enemy. But I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad I went through what I went through. When he cured me from alcoholism, I was at the stage where that I could not live with the alcohol and couldn't live without it. I stayed drunk. It was 6 weeks in a row. Every day I got home and couldn't remember, not one day I got home. So bad. I hit two, they let me off work at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to take me home, go home and get some rest and come back at 11 o'clock that night, 10:30 that night. I had never made it home dead drunk and hit two parked cars. I did it. I'm not proud of it, but I did. That's the problem. And when I went into the treatment center, I was at the halfway house, getting ready to come home. Well, getting ready for the world. That's what the halfway house is, next step into the world. I woke up one morning, I thought I'd been out that night and got drunk. Oh, now, Lord, why did you let me get drunk? Well, I just might as well have gone. I can't beat this. I can't do it. I can't do it. He said, well, if you want to, now we had a conversation. He said, well, if you want to get drunk, go ahead on and get drunk. Don't just go ahead on and get drunk. But before you get drunk, take a look in the mirror and tell me what you see. I looked in the mirror. He said, remember what you see. Now, whether I got drunk, I cannot tell. Whether I did, I didn't. Next time I meet God and God said, how you feel about yourself now? I must have been drunk. I say, I feel good. I got confidence in myself now. I think I'm this and I'm that now. He said, well, take a look in the mirror again. Did anything change? He said, no. Look, no, nothing didn't change. He said, well, if didn't nothing change, why do you feel so good about yourself now and nothing changed? I said, holy Lord God, you mean to tell me that alcohol has been making a fool out of me for all of these years? The devil been telling me that it was doing something for me? And when it was on and causing me to make a fool out of myself, it wasn't doing that. He told me that it gave me confidence, that I thought I could drive a car better. I thought that I could talk better under the influence of the alcohol. And I said, Lord, I had a whiskey bottle and I took it and set it down there in front of me and said, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. Me and you, we no friends no more. You've been lying to me all these years. You've been telling me that you've been doing so much for me, and when you're the one that causing me the problem. And I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But see, when I knew God, I'm gonna leave it alone, Pastor. I promise you that. When I knew God, I still wasn't ready to give up the alcohol. You know what Prophet Houston said this morning? He said, blessed are those that are in pure heart. They shall see Jesus. Listen, I wasn't broke yet. I wasn't broke. I wasn't broken. You understand what I'm talking about? I hadn't reached that point where that I couldn't go no further like I was and couldn't come back the other way. I reached it. And today, I can tell you this. I wouldn't put my worst enemy through what I went through. But I'm glad I went through it. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, so many people say you're nothing but a failure. It don't make no difference what you say. It doesn't make no difference to you, to me, what you say about me. A gentleman said this morning, talking about my wife, and somebody rode up to the end on the way before I can get out of church. You know, they didn't say nothing about you, did they? I said, no, they didn't say nothing about me. But I got news for you. I had told my wife that, been telling her that all last week. I was telling her that. She just got the second witness this morning. But I was glad you said about it, and it's fine. Didn't hurt me not a lick. Somebody told me the other day, say, you know, you need to get one of your brothers to come and one of your friends to tear the roof up where your pals can get through it, get through to God. I said, I don't care what you said. Didn't hurt me not one iota. Not one thing that they said that bothered me. You know why? Because God told me that this word of God tells me that if God be for you, who can be against you? It makes no difference what they say about you. All of us is in the same boat. Every person that gets saved, every person that comes before God, God gives him grace. Where sin did abound, his what? His grace much more abound. Amen. Does that give you a right to go out and sin just because grace abound? No, God forbid. How can I continue in sin when I'm dead? I could read that scripture. When I'm dead to sin. Amen. Amen. God's goodness. So those old people that holler and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and you ain't got nothing because you don't speak in tongues. If they speak in tongues, that's fine. If they don't, they still don't have no more than I got. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you the reason why. Because Jesus looks at us all under his blood. The blood, what makes the difference. Amen. When God told that angel to go before down in Egypt and put a mark up over that everybody doorpost, a blood, mark of blood. Everybody was under the blood. Did he check and see whether good people were under the blood or bad people? All that believed. Amen. We all in the same boat. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jackson. Amen. Let's all stand together. Don't give up on God. Amen. Thank you for that.